It is great to see everybody this morning. I do hope that everybody who is in the Christmas spirit will be able to enjoy the Christmas holiday together, and we do wish you all a very Merry Christmas, and we are glad that you're here. We do obviously have folks who are out of town this morning. They are traveling to be with their family or maybe traveling back, and they've been with their family. But we certainly have some empty spots among us, but we know that they'll be coming back, and we're thankful for that. If you're yet to travel and you're going to be traveling, we do just ask you to be very safe out there and come back to us safely, and hope everybody enjoys their holiday time. I do want to say that it's exciting. We had a busy week this past week, of course. Knowing that Tyler and Holly and the Carpenter family are celebrating little Briley, she was ready to come for Christmas. And so we're excited that she's here, but we're also excited they're doing as well as they are. So please continue to pray for, I know Justin mentioned the Gills, and especially little Briley as she keeps growing. Holly also had surgery with that, and so we want to pray for them. Also, our sister Linda had surgery this past week, and I talked to Tanya this morning. She's doing well. She's recovering, and she's very determined. And so we want her to get better soon. Continue to pray for Sister Linda as, again, it's a busy week for them. And so we want to pray that they're able to get back on their feet. But we also have some exciting news this morning. We have somebody among us this morning who is expecting their second child. And so we're excited to announce and congratulate Cody, Brittany, and Noah Sherman. So we're very excited for them. Also excited for Angie and all the family as well. Another celebration. Noah's going to be the big brother, and he's happy back there, and we're happy for him. So y'all please pray for the Sherman family, and definitely pray that everything goes well. Somebody said, you know, we always grow when we have more babies. And so that's a great thing. We're excited about that. Today we're finishing up our study on the seven churches of Asia. It has been 7 weeks, and I know that may be easy for you to believe, but it's hard for me to believe that we have gone through this and it's flown by so fast. But today we're going to talk about the church that I skipped last week. Because in my opinion, this is our goal this week. All these other six churches, and not all six were negative, but there were bad things to say about just about every one of the churches. But today I saved the best, in my opinion, or the one that we should desire to be for last. And I call it the faithful church, and that is the church at Philadelphia. You see, Jesus, writing these seven churches, certainly wrote a letter to all seven, delivered by an angel, a messenger to them, telling them, hey, I know your works. He told them all that, even the church of Philadelphia. These are the things you're doing well. These are the things you're not doing well. He said, if you don't get right, you don't repent, I'm going to take away your candlestick. You're going to be removed. And so what we've tried to do, again, the last couple Sundays of the year, 2018, to reflect, our theme this year has been more. Have we done more for Jesus Christ? Have we been lukewarm, like we talked about last week? Have we been productive? Have we been hot or cold and had the good water? Have we been corrupt? Have we been fill in the blank, whatever church? Or today we're going to ask, are we faithful? But Jesus, writing to all these churches, I believe wrote to the church as a whole and said, hey, these are the things that can go wrong, but these are the things also that can go right. And so today, to end on a very positive note, I still want to challenge us, though, but I want us to look at the church of Philadelphia and ask the question, am I faithful? And I know you're sitting there probably thinking, well, yes, Terry, I'm faithful, I'm here today, but that's not exactly what I mean. Yes, faithfulness matters in attendance, but there are other things that we must be faithful in. If we're going to be true followers of Jesus Christ, we're going to be true lampstands, we're going to have our lights, we're going to be shining, we're going to be bright, and we're going to inherit the kingdom of heaven one day, then we must be faithful. We must be faithful as individuals, we must be faithful as a church. And so, as we look at this together, as I've said each and every week, let us not forget, this is not a letter from me. It is not a letter from our elders. It is not a letter from anyone in the church except the head of the church, and that's Jesus Christ. As he's writing to the church of Philadelphia, he's going to say some things about him that we're going to talk about in just a moment that are very fitting for us to celebrate about Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 3 now, verses 7 through 13. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Again, who's writing these words? Jesus Christ. He's telling them to John, who's going to relay them to this messenger who's going to deliver them to the church at Philadelphia. And here's what we know about Jesus. We know how awesome he is. We know how powerful he is. We know that he had a miraculous birth. He lived a faithful life. And he died the cruelest death known to mankind. But he performed the greatest miracle of all by resurrecting himself up out of the dead, overcoming death, overcoming sin, overcoming Satan, and overcoming this world. And because of that, we celebrate Jesus. But here's what else he says about himself. He says that he is the Holy One. And that is very special, right? Knowing that Jesus said that about himself, it reminds us, yes, Jesus was human, but Jesus was also God. Jesus is also majestic. He is also all-powerful. He is awesome. He says that he is holy. He declares his holiness. In several New Testament passages, holiness is applied to Christ. We can see that in Mark 1:24, Acts 3:14, and Acts 4, verse 30. Holiness is a key characteristic which sets Jesus apart from mankind. Now, we are called to be holy, but Jesus is holy in a whole different kind of way. He is without sin. We have sin, but we're still called to be holy, right? He is without guile or deception. He is in every way holy. He is to be then reverenced and obeyed, just like we talk about God. God is holy, 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 according to what the seraphim said in Isaiah 6. What they were chanting, Jesus Christ is the same way. We would not do any irreverence to God. That should not be in our mindset. That should not be in our attitude. It should not be in our hearts whatsoever. And so therefore, it shouldn't be to Jesus Christ as well. With that being said, we also see that Jesus says he has the key to David. Now, what do keys do? We know what keys do. They unlock doors. And so if you think about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 through 19, he said to Peter, he said that I am going to give you the keys to the church, to the kingdom, to the church that I'm going to establish. Now, he didn't give him a physical set of keys, obviously, but in a spiritual sense, in a symbolic sense, he gave him this key. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter and the other apostles, through the authority of Jesus Christ, open up the doors to the kingdom. Well, Jesus said he had the key of David. Now, that's very significant because this statement comes from Isaiah 22. If you look there, it's in reference to Eliakim. Eliakim is someone who they're talking to. And these are the words. The key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, and he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Shebna. Shebna was an evil worker for King Hezekiah. He was in an office there, and even though Hezekiah did great things, Shebna did not do great things. And he's driven from the office, and so Eliakim is going to be taking over this role. And so he is entrusted with the power of the key of David. Now, why was that significant? Even though it's under King Hezekiah's time, David was the king, okay? He was revered by the Israelites. He led the kingdom at its greatest time. And so he was what is known as the greatest king over united Israel, okay, bar none. And to this day, David is revered in the Jewish nation, okay? His name is very well known. And so, with that being said, this key, when you put David to it, it had authority. And so Jesus told the angel who told the church at Philadelphia, I have the key of David. Now, what was the key of David doing? Opening up the kingdom of Israel. What is he telling the people? He said, I am opening up a door, and it's for anyone to come through, and no one can lock it. Isn't that great news? He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about the church today. Jesus Christ said, when I open the door, I hold the key, and no one can come behind me and lock it. He said, now, if I shut a door, nobody can open it. You remember in Noah's day, the people were chanting, hey, I would imagine they were, when those rains came, Noah preached for 100 whatever years, and nobody got on the ark except his family. But when those rains started falling, I'm sure they were knocking, hey, Noah, let us in, let us in. He said, I can't do it. God shut it. Well, see, that's the same mindset here. Jesus Christ is saying, listen, I am holy, and I hold the keys of David. With that being said, today, you know what it tells us about Jesus Christ? You man, I know the controversy behind Christmas. I know the controversy behind the birth. I know all those things and people talking about this being the birth or what have you. But let me tell you this. Jesus Christ is so holy and so powerful, He deserves holidays named after Him. He deserves the church named after Him. He deserves a family named after Him. He deserves whatever honor and glory can come His way. Because He's Jesus Christ. And that's what He's telling the church of Philadelphia. This is who's telling you these words. And so He goes on to talk about Philadelphia. He says He knows their works. And I'm going to talk about that more in a minute. He talks about the synagogue of Satan. He doesn't call them the synagogue of Satan. I just didn't have enough room to write all that on my PowerPoint. But He talks about the synagogue of Satan, and He talks about how they kept the word, His faithfulness. So let's break that down just for a few moments, and then we'll make this apply to us today. He says, I know your works. Philadelphia, let's talk about this city, was built for the purpose of assimilating Greek culture and language into the heart of Asia Minor. So it was going to be the bridge that brought the Greek culture with the Roman culture, okay? It was the bridge that brought these two cultures together. It was built on a major highway that was used as one of the postal routes of the Roman Empire. So this major highway, the Roman Empire used to deliver mail and other things. The church at Philadelphia had the same opportunity that the city of Philadelphia had. And that was to assimilate Christian culture against pagan culture. That doesn't mean that the Christians were going to be able to or become like the pagans. It meant that the pagans were going to become like the Christians. And that's what our goal is today as well. And so with that being said, Jesus tells them that the door of opportunity is open to them and no one can shut it. And that's encouraging to me. The door is open, Church at Philadelphia, for you to bring worldly people into Christianity. And no one can shut that door. Now, some of you may say, hey, that's not true. I've had doors shut in my face. Well, they didn't shut the door to the kingdom in your face. Just because they may say no doesn't mean that you and I haven't been said yes to. We still are part of the kingdom. Yes, it hurts when people tell us no. Yes, it hurts when we're rejected. Yes, it hurts when people that we love choose not to come and worship and be a part of the faithfulness of the fold of the bond of Jesus Christ. But it's not the end for us. Ultimately, we are to plant and water, and that's what Jesus is telling them. And they did that faithfully. They had been obedient to His will. They did not deny His name, no matter what persecution they faced. That's real important. No matter what came their way, no matter what obstacles were in their path, they did not lose faithfulness. They did not deny the name of Jesus Christ. And that is something for us to reach for today. No matter what the world throws our way, no matter what media says, no matter what news and what bad news and what evil news we can hear, we cannot allow it to shut the door. We cannot allow it to come between us and our faithfulness to God. Jesus praised the church at Philadelphia for not denying His name. You see, it was a great comfort to them in light of the fact that Jesus made this promise earlier in His teaching while still on earth. Here's what He said in Luke 12. "And I say unto you, everyone who shall confess Me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he who denies Me in the presence of men shall be denied in the presence of the angels of God." The church at Philadelphia had not denied His name, so what does that mean? Jesus is going to confess their name before God, before the angels, before the host of heaven. Today, I want Jesus to say that about me. You know, we talk about, and it feels good to get honored. I mean, we can be humble about it all we want, but it feels good, okay? It feels good for somebody to recognize your service, for somebody to say, hey, great job, to give you an award, to give you a plaque, whatever it may be. It feels good, but how good does it feel for the Son of Man, the Holy One, the One who holds the keys of David on His shoulder to say, God, fill in Your name. Never denied Me. They confess Me before the world. They confess Me before their co-workers. They confess Me before their neighbors. They confess Me before their family. How great does it feel to know that Jesus Christ is going to bring your name before God and all the hosts of heaven? And He goes on to talk about this synagogue of Satan. The Jews who rejected Christ were bitter enemies of the Christians in the first and second century. I mean, we see that in the book of Acts, all through it. They were persecuting Christians. They were persecuting the apostles. It was a really, really bad scene. And so a lot of these Jews were living in the city of Philadelphia. And because of that, they had a Jewish synagogue where all the Jews made claim that God entrusted them with the key of David. Now again, this goes back. Remember, hey, Eliakim had the keys to kingdom, and he's a Jew, and we have it. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, no, he doesn't have it anymore. I have it. I have these keys. And because I have these keys, we are not part of Jewish tradition anymore. We're part of Christianity. And so they were trying to hold this hierarchy over them. And they were persecuting them, and they were giving them out or selling them out to the Romans, and all these persecutions were coming about the church of Philadelphia. And so Jesus is praising them for their faithfulness because of the synagogue. And He called them of Satan. He said, you didn't give up. And because of that, you're going to be blessed. And that to me today is so special as we think about our lives. By the way, what happened to Shebna? Going back now to Isaiah 22. When he wasn't doing the office that he was supposed to do for King Hezekiah the right way, he was removed. What happened to Shebna is also what's happening to this synagogue of Satan. The power of the key of David was stripped from them and given to the others. The power of the key of David entrusted to the Israelite nation was taken from them and given to the saints of the church of our Lord. The Christians in Philadelphia who were given the open door were able to take advantage of the opportunities associated with being the true Jews who were the children of God. Now he goes on to say that they kept the word. This is their faithfulness, right? They kept the word. It means that they had been obedient to the words and the will of Jesus Christ, even through the hard times. Now this is where the sermon's going to shift. Okay? Jesus knows our works. He knows what good and what bad we've done. He knows all that. We've talked about that through all the seven churches now. He knows that there's synagogues of Satan, if you will, to use that term broadly. He knows that there are people that are against what we're doing in here today. He knows it. He knows that they're out there. And so the question is today, am I keeping the Word? Am I keeping to the Word of Jesus Christ? Am I faithful? Are we faithful as a church? Now I'm going to sit here and say, I believe we are. I believe there's a lot of good that comes from this congregation. But I cannot speak to every single person who is on our attendance roll, okay? Who is on our roll, on our directory, whatever it may be. I can't speak to everyone here. Because it's an individual decision. And so I want to speak to us individually today. As we look at this letter and we're reminded of the great things going on at the church at Philadelphia, what about the church at Azalea City? What are we doing? Are we faithful? You know, we might wear a name tag in here, right? Hello, I am. Put your name on there. Today, let's say faithful. Am I faithful? What does a faithful church look like? What does a faithful Christian look like? Now, I'm going to sit here and say, I think a faithful church looks like the Azalea City Church of Christ. I really do. But there's more to it than that. So today, as we get ready to get to the heart of what we can really take with us today, we've done introduction, now let's get to the meat of the matter. I want to ask us, are we doing the following? Number one, can I say today that I am reading my Bible daily? Now, before you tune me out, if you're going to tune me out, let me say I do believe daily is important. I really do. You know, if we're not reading it daily, how do we know, how are we able to, are we just living on the reserve? You know, are we living on the leftovers? Think about what happened to leftovers. We had some folks over. We actually had our church staff over Thursday night at our house, and we had barbecue. I ate barbecue the next two meals after that on Friday. And I really enjoyed it. It was really good. But it ran out. And part of me is glad that it did. And so I can't eat barbecue right now or leftover barbecue. Why? Because it's gone. It's empty. It's gone. It's out of the refrigerator. Well, what happens if I just keep living off my leftover Bible? Eventually, it's going to run out. And it's not going to be enough. Some people read message boards of their favorite team every single day. We check Twitter every single day, multiple times a day. Not all of you, I know that, trust me. But those who do, Instagram, Facebook, we do it every day. Used to we'd read the newspaper every day. Now it very rarely comes around, right? But we go to Fox News and we read that every day. We turn it in, tune it in every day. Why are we not reading our Bibles every day? That's what a faithful Christian looks like. Somebody who is in the Word every day. Every day. And it doesn't have to mean that you've got to sit and read Leviticus every day. Nobody wants to do that. But it means we need to take some fuel and put in our vehicles every day. But I don't want you to look at it today as a hassle. It is easier today to read the Bible than there's ever been. It's easier to have access to the Bible today than there has ever been. But don't look at this as a negative. Jesus Christ gave us these words. The Holy Spirit gave us these words so that we can have access to them and so that we can get to heaven and bring other people there. I love Bible study. I love it. I love being able to look and just getting lost in a passage for a few moments because I'm going to turn back to here and to here and to here and to here and just reflect on that. And you can see people that really enjoy that. And I'm going to call his name. I think Johnny really enjoys that. There is no doubt in my mind when Johnny McDonald studies his Bible daily. No doubt why. Because I can see it. That's what faithful Bible reading looks like. And it's not just so that we can load our guns and defeat the denominations, folks. It's so that we can grow as a faithful Christian. Read the Bible today and every day because it excites you. I can remember never wanting to read the Old Testament. When I was a new Christian, I was scared of it. I didn't know it. I didn't understand. Scared is probably not the right word, but intimidated by it. And I didn't want to read the Old Testament. It's too hard to understand all that. And man, some of these books, and you get bogged down in these laws, and this doesn't apply to me anyhow. I don't read it. Then I took a class in college, and it was over the Old Testament, and I fell in love with it. Seeing how God worked all of those moments to get Jesus Christ into the world. What a spectacular old law that was written and given to us for our learning. And then to see how all that weaves together to paint the picture of the gospel, to paint the picture of the church, to paint the picture of Christianity. You see, studying the Bible needs to excite us. If it doesn't excite me, maybe I need to work on my faith today. Secondly, I need to read the Bible because I want to know God. Think about that. Oh, I know God, Terry. Maybe that's true. I don't believe there's anybody in here that does not know God. I believe we all know God. The youngest among us, you know, they know God. They know pray. We know God. But do we know God? You know how you get to know someone? You learn them. You intimately learn them. And if I'm going to read my Bible occasionally or read my Bible when I come to church, I don't know that I know Him as well as I need to. Thirdly, I need to read my Bible. A faithful Christian reads their Bible daily because it is living and active, Hebrews chapter 4:12. The words on this page, or these pages, are alive. This is a living word. It is not about dead people in a grave. Jesus Christ is not dead in a grave. He is alive, and He is the Word, and we need to study Him and read Him. Also, we need to read our Bibles daily because it can speak powerful truth into your life right now. It's not about, yes, it's about the future, okay? But it's not all about the future. I want you to understand that. Is it about heaven? Is heaven the end goal? Absolutely it is. And a faithful Christian always has heaven on their mind. But it's also about the right now. This morning in class, some brought up about decisions they have to make. Well, guess what? This book guides us in that. It guides us in our struggles. It guides us in our marriages. It guides us in our families. It guides us in all these things. And it works in our lives right now. That's why we need to study it right now, every day. And we need to read the Bible so that our life reveals more of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3. John the Baptist said it best, "I must decrease so that He may increase." And I use my spin on that. But that's what he intended. Terry needs to get out of the way so that Jesus Christ can get in. And the more I read, the more I know him. So what does a faithful Christian Christian do? What did the church at Philadelphia do? What did he praise them for? Keeping his word. Today, would Jesus Christ praise you? It's the only question I've got to ask on this point. Would he praise you for keeping and knowing his word? If the answer is yes, keep on keeping on into 2019. If the answer is no, then we need to change that. Number two, hello, I am faithful, right? I am reading my Bible daily. Number two, I am letting my light shine. This time of year, that may be a challenge, right? Last night, we took our children to look at Christmas lights throughout our area. And I decided, not really last minute, but one of our members I know that lives in the neighborhood, I was like, hey, let's go in their neighborhood. It's a big neighborhood, a lot of houses. And so I put my blinker on, and there was a truck flying up, and they decided that I did not do it the way they wanted to, and so they wanted to honk and yell and do all those things at me. Well, I just turned in, but it did aggravate me. It did frustrate me, and I did want to just kind of jerk them up out of their seat, you know? But the reality is, I've got to let my light shine. Why? Because my children need to see that. My wife needs to see that. Today, this morning, on the way to church, somebody, Madeline, actually noticed this. She said, man, they just turned right in front, pulled right in front of us, Daddy, and turned. I said, I know. I said, I could have done like last night, laid on my horn, and then, but I'm trying to teach you a lesson. I don't do that. Why? I didn't hit them. I had plenty of time to stop, thanks be to God. But that's what, again, there's challenges all around us, right? I could go on and on. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus Christ brought a new covenant to them. He was bringing in a new law. And he said, it's not an eye for an eye, it's not a tooth for a tooth. He's talking about, no, we need to let our light shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now let me tell you this, that means sometimes we've got to swallow our pride. But that's okay. Because Jesus Christ swallowed his. When they were making fun of him, after they had spat upon him, after they had beaten him, after they had nailed him to a tree, they're coming by and they're making fun of him, they're mocking him, they're blaspheming him, and he says, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Am I faithful in letting my light shine? Do my children see me letting my light shine? Do not kid yourselves, nor will I kid myself. They see us all right, whether we're letting it shine or not. They see how we react. They learn what we're going to do. And we've got to be cautious of others watching us. Jesus Christ knows our works. And it either excites us or it scares us to death. Thirdly, a faithful Christian is giving regularly and sacrificially. We have had a great year as a church. We have met budget and we have come in over budget. Now, there's still 2 weeks and, you know, if you don't give, we could lose all that. But here's the point. I don't know that we have a problem with this as a church family. And I don't know because I don't have any idea what your income is or what you give if we have an issue with this as individuals. But I promise you that God expects us to give. He expects us to do it regularly and sacrificially. We have had men stand up here reside over the Lord's table and do a far better job than I can do in eloquently telling us that giving must hurt. We must give to the point that we miss that money. Does that make sense? We need it. You know, we're not giving from the excess. It's what He taught in Malachi. It's what he taught throughout. But that's awkward for a preacher who is paid by the church to say. But I love us enough to say that a faithful church or a faithful Christian is giving regularly and sacrificially. Number one, our giving changes us. This is the way God designed it. When we give regularly and we give sacrificially, it changes us. Why? Because it puts our priorities not about us, but about the kingdom. It's about God. God doesn't need the dollars. He needs the hearts. He needs the attitudes. He needs the mindset. He told them from the beginning, bring the best. That's why Cain got so upset when his sacrifice wasn't accepted and he murdered his brother Abel, because he didn't give his best. But his brother did. And he couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle being rejected. He couldn't handle his brother being praised. So he got jealous and he got envious and he got murderous. It's why he told them, if you go back and look through the book of Exodus, and man, that Passover is such a powerful, powerful moment. I went back and I started reading it again because of what Ken or whoever it was reminded us of. But in that Passover, I want you to know, when they were to observe Passover, they weren't going to get the third and fourth and blemished animal. They were to get their best lamb and give it to God. But nowhere did I read that they struggled to have lambs. Nowhere do I read that they struggled to have any kind of abundance. Malachi, he said, try me. Try me. I don't have access, nor would I want access, to who gives or what you have financially. Our elders do see those reports. They've never told me this is what so-and-so gives. That's just not what we talk about. But here's what I have heard. When someone stops giving, guess what it is likened to? Their faithfulness. So that's why it's a good test of our faithfulness. Secondly, our giving brings glory to God. Again, it's not about the amount, but it's about what we're doing. Think of what He gave for us. He gave the Holy One. He gave the one who holds the key of David. He gave His own Son. Thirdly, our giving blesses us. Luke chapter 6, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. I love the way that says it. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. And then finally, on our giving proves our faith. All I have to do is liken that to Abraham and Isaac. What is Abraham known for? He is the father of all nations. Yes, he is. He is the father of faith. Yes, he is. He is the one that was willing to give his only son from Sarah, Isaac. It proved his faith. Today, are we faithful? Are we giving as God should? And then finally this morning, if I'm going to be the church at Philadelphia, if I'm going to be the faithful Christian, then I need to ask myself, how's my attitude? Most of us believe we possess a positive attitude, I would guess, in here. There's nobody in here just going to volunteer. I mean, well, typically it depends on if you're really pushed on it. But nobody's going here and say, yeah, my attitude's rotten. We all kind of feel, you know, I'm okay. But what would happen if we asked our best friend, our spouse, for a no-holds-barred, honest assessment of our attitude? Maybe we would receive some of these comments. Other attitudes not too bad after 3 cups of coffee. Well, their attitude's okay, except when little things get blown out of proportion. Their attitude's okay, except they're irritable and they're moody. Their attitude's okay, except they're overly sensitive. They're whiny. They fret and they worry over everything. They're unforgiving towards certain people. Matthew chapter 15, 16 and 17 and 18. Don't you understand yet, Jesus asked? Anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. This is the NLT's version. But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. And I use that terminology, or use that version because of the terminology. It makes sense to know that what we eat doesn't defile us. It goes into the stomach and out to the sewer, and we don't have to explain that anymore. What defiles us is what comes from the heart. And that's our attitude. That's how we live our lives. That's our character. That's how we react. That's how we are. When we're willing to honestly look into our hearts and do something about what we discover, then with the help of Jesus Christ, we can begin to experience godly, positive change from the inside out. As we get ready to close, I want to ask us about the letter again. We're closing not only a sermon, but a series of letters. And so as we close and we have the final goodbye, sign Jesus Christ, okay? What's it saying about us? What's Christ's letter saying about us? Are we loveless like the church at Ephesus? Are we persecuted like the church at Smyrna? Are we compromising like the church at Pergamos? Are we corrupt like the church at Thyatira? Are we dead like the church at Sardis? Are we lukewarm like the church at Laodicea? Or are we faithful like the church at Philadelphia? As I bring that home, I want to ask it even more personally. Are we faithful like Jesus Christ? But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. From his amazing birth to his amazing adolescent time, to his amazing adulthood, to his amazing teachings, to his amazing change, to his amazing death, to his amazing resurrection, Jesus Christ has remained and will always remain faithful. Are we faithful to him? If the answer is not, the answer is no, then let's change that right now as together we stand and sing.